Wake and Blake.
The Blake Show with Kelly and Todd on Coast 93.1.
Good morning. We got a message from Sophia on our Facebook page, and she was saying, I'm a teacher, and as a teacher, I feel it's important for me to teach about racial justice in my class, especially in what's an all-white class and one black student. It's very important that we talk about it. So thank you to the teachers and the parents and the people who live lives that don't just talk about racial justice and equality, but are shining examples of how we all could be better. So on to the fun, silly stuff that we try to mix into on strange days like today. And it involves cereal and that you've been eating cereal wrong. You see this? People are freezing their cereal and they say it tastes better.
I did see that.
Wait, and like putting the box into the freezer?
Yeah.
Or like putting it in a bowl and then put the bowl in the freezer and then you put your milk in after.
So that it doesn't ever get warm?
So how long do you have to put the bowl in the freezer?
I think until it like legit like...
Because it's most cereal, it's dry, so it would just be cold. It's not like it's going to get frozen.
It must make it like super, super crunchy when you add the milk to it.
It says you put it in the freezer. Blah, blah, blah. This is some TikTok thing. I don't know. Who knows? I can't tell what's real and what's fake on TikTok, by the way.
Neither can I. I've been watching it, too, and I think I've learned to dance.
Oh, really?
Oh.
And I think it's one that you and I could do.
Oh, boy.
Because it's easy.
Oh, our foray into TikTok.
Yeah, it's a first-timer. But I haven't done the cereal thing, but it looks like it would be pretty good.
It's something that makes it taste better. Or like it brings out the flavor of it. I don't know.
Is that what it's saying? It brings out the flavor of the cereal better?
I know,
that's
which is weird.
Hogwash.
Because I think when you...
Hogwash.
Todd, you sound like an old man.
Yeah,
that's
Lord.
A bunch of hogwash. You know what that is? That's a bunch of malarkey.
Where's my Raisin Bran?
Hey, don't knock Raisin Bran.
I'm not.
Crunch.
I tell you what. It's my favorite. It's my favorite cereal. And
what?
It's
so
what
good.
I craved. The number one craving when I was pregnant was Raisin Bran. I would eat Raisin Bran. Oh,
Corn
I love
Pops.
It.
Corn Pops all the way.
Corn
Pops.
Well,
those are really good. But those also... Those actually probably need to go in the freezer because they get soggy and they lose the sugary coating really fast.
They do.
Ooh,
you
should try the
fast.
Corn Pops. Yeah, in the freezer. Yeah.
It's a bunch of malarkey.
There's Todd.
It's malarkey, I tell
ya. It's a bunch of hogwash, I tell ya. Back in my day, all we had was shredded wheat.
I tell ya.
And it wasn't even the frosted one.
That's right.
And we didn't even buy it in a box. We had to go out and pick the wheat up off the field.
Too much sugar.
It's a bunch of hogwash.
Gives me the diabetes.
My old man voice sounds like the grumpy old guys in the Muppets.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
That's hogwash. It's malarkey. It was terrible. Hey.
It's malarkey.
So I don't know. But you know what? People have weird things about their food.
They do. Some weird things on here.
Oh, like what? So this is a thread on our Facebook page, too. If you want to call 79COAST, 792-6278. Is that our favorite Virginian, Mac?
Mac?
Hey, how's it going?
Are you from Virginia? I forget.
Oh, God. I can't believe you insulted me like
that.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I'm from Alabama.
Alabama. That's what we had. We had a Virginia regular, too. Mac, do you have a comment about freezing cereal?
Freezing cereal? Why would you freeze cereal?
No, that's what I said.
Are you listening to the show, Mac?
Well, this is part of the show. Welcome to the show.
You're actually the only one I've ever called, but I like your show. What can I say?
Thank you.
I wanted to weigh in on your conversation you had earlier, the ongoing issue. But I think before I do, I want to ask you a quick question.
Yes.
Whose responsibility is it to...
About the racism stuff?
About the racism.
Mac, we're trying to talk about freezing cereal. You're going to go all serious on me right now?
It's going to be 30 seconds, but I got a story to tell you. The reason I asked you this question. So, quick question, both of you. Who's responsible?
Who's responsible for what?
For what?
For teaching. And
I think it's the parents.
Well, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
The reason I asked you that. Now, here's the story. I had a wonderful mother. Mm-hmm. She taught me well, and she knew where all the hickory switches were. But she always respected.
What does that mean?
Grab the switch when gets
banged. Oh, you'd get in trouble. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm with you, Mac.
They made sure that you learned. But the point was, the two stories was, I knew a guy when I was growing up. The guy was... gay, nice guy. Mm-hmm. But when people, act and hate toward gay, I didn't know how I felt about it. And my mother called him over one day, and he says, you know, my son's a hard worker. I want you to take him to work with you. Mm-hmm. And I said, what? Okay. And it turns out he was a great guy. He ended up working for a couple people doing pool cleaning. I ended up making an easy $100 a week doing that.
Wow.
I got to know the guy. He was a great guy.
And this is in Alabama.
This is in Alabama. And wow. I got to see the people who hate him just because he was gay. Mm. And so that was my mother who taught me. Now, the reason I asked you that same question was, I also have a friend, great friend, but when we were in elementary school, most of the time, I was not racist, not hateful, but he would always come in, we'd call me the N-word, you know, next thing you know, we'd go at it, okay? I'd go home and talk to my mother, and she said, well, you need to talk to him. Mm-hmm. Well, one day when we went to school, I got called into the principal's office, and the principal said, you know, I understand that you two have issues. So I'm going to resolve that issue right now. Hmm. And he called the other kid in, and I understand. From now on, you both are going to be in the same class until you graduate.
Wow. Said,
elementary school? No. I already talked to my friend in high school. Then you're going to be in the same class until you graduate 12th grade.
We became
best friends. We still talk to each other. Even when he had a few friends that at first didn't like me because I was black, they got to know we became great friends. They, you know, it just changed. It's not just the parents. It's everybody's responsibility to educate your children.
That's that's great.
If, you know, if you don't educate them, fear or hatred is going to fill in that gap.
Because, and that's what we always say, you know, it's kind of a cliche that you're not born hateful towards anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just what you learn. But the thing is that you learn it from so many other places other than what we think of as the places you learn. It's not just home. It's not just teachers. You learn it from so many other places. So it's important that at home and at school and everywhere there is an opportunity to learn, they're teaching, you know, the right lessons to counteract, or they could learn it from elsewhere.
And the last thing you also need to look at the issue is it's not just racism, you know, that I dislike what the individual did. And I think if he does, you know, they should put him on trial.
You mean the police officer?
The police officer.
Yeah.
But also you also have to think, and when I was in the military, you know, no offense, one person who's this way acts totally different when you're in a combat situation, are you in a, and no, he's not a combat situation, but he was an officer that had to look at an individual that was supposedly a severe criminal. And he was wrong for sitting him down his neck. And probably it could have been that, you know, he was panicked. He was waiting for his officer to get there, you know, and I think people are looking everything wrong and everything's considered racism. My mom taught me better, and I don't look at individual. I look at the individual person. The person I'm dealing with is a person I either going to hate or like.
Is it, Mac, I want to ask you, since we're on, we can kind of scrap the frozen cereal thing for now, I guess. But maybe try that, Mac. So you're black, Mac.
I am.
And you live in Maine, and it's a very white state. When stuff like what happened to George Floyd happens, how do you feel here compared to maybe living in a more diverse community that you lived in Alabama? What's different?
In Alabama, you tend to deal with a lot more racism. Mm. You know, when I listened to your comment earlier, I grew up in a town where we knew one store was racist, and me and friends used to go in there, not because we knew the person, because it was just annoying. Because if you walk into that store, they would say, how do you, as soon as me or anybody of color, all of a sudden their family was walking behind you, you know, and we used to just go in there just for the hell of it, just so they could walk, walk around with. And finally, one day the lady said, you know, are you going to buy something? I said, oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Do you need for me to buy something? I see you're not asking anybody else, you know. Mm. And I said, but well, if you're not going to buy anything, you should go. I said, I will. As soon as I decide what I want to buy, I walk around a little bit more. Then we walk out. You know, we did it simply because they would ignore us. We knew they were racist and they didn't change. And unfortunately,
I don't mean to interrupt you, Matt, but are you saying that it was at least you knew where they stood, and it was better to know where someone stood than something that's a little bit more latent?
it's always better. You know, I grew up with people driving by calling me the N-word,
yeah.
You know. And I remember one time a guy drove by, him and his buddies. I was 15 years old. And they slowed down. I saw it coming. And the guy stuck his head out, and he called me a honky. Mm. And then he sped, and literally, after he sped up the car, you could see his buddies yelling at him in the car because he said the wrong thing.
Right.
Me and some of us, we were laughing our heads off because he probably wasn't, you know. And but like I said, I had a good mother. She taught me well.
Yeah.
She didn't stand for any type of racial ideologies. But I also had good teachers who also stomped that out, who turned around.
I love that story about the principal and how he said, you know what, you two, you know, he called you the N-word, and you know what, you two are going to be in the same class until you graduate. And then, are you still friends? Is he still around or what?
Yeah, he's still around. We still talk. We chit-chat. I got to meet his family, you know, growing up. Finally, he invited me over, and, you know, him and his younger brother, you know, we became good friends. But if it wasn't because of that, he may have came out and been just as hateful and racist.
Right.
And who knows how I would have turned out. But I had a good mother who taught me well. He had a good – and once he got to know his family, you know, his mom and dad were wonderful. So you can't say that it was because of them that – he originally started out with this particular attitude.
Mm.
It was the friends and their friends whose parents taught them, you know, to be hateful.
Yeah.
You know, it's when you interact with people. You know, the least racist people I've ever had to deal with is military people. You know, we have to be around. We go see all the other cultures, you know.
It's part of training is that you toss control. All that other stuff aside because the brotherhood, I guess, so to speak, is more important than anything that divides you. Yeah,
exactly.
I tell you what, your mom is pretty cool.
It's sad, but the thing is, you know, until we as people learn to get along with everybody, you know, and it's difficult to do because underlying that, everybody has a seething anger for something. You know, a mob, you know, a crowd can be a mob, but a mob can't be a crowd.
Hmm.
If you ever heard that term.
I haven't. You know, I haven't heard that.
Basically, you've gone to a place, you've cheered or you've turned around and protested something, but you get a small group of people to start changing the demographics. All of a sudden, you know, there's violence and screaming and shouting.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Once people get started, it's hard to back that off.
Right. And well, then we talk about like mob mentality, you know, and all that stuff, because it's not just about a gathering of people. It's a gathering of like-minded people who have, you know.
Right.
Well, I think
I won't hold you up anymore. But
no, we love it, and I think one of the most important things we can do, and I know I can do as a white person, is just to listen. You know, I think that's the most important thing to do right now. Is not necessarily, you know, it's kind of weird as a radio host. It's like you're supposed to have something to say. You know, we fill the 5 hours that our show is, but right now I think it's important to take a pause and take a step back and listen. And I'm really glad you called, Mac.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
All right, bud.
Stay away from frozen cereal.
I love you, Mac.
All right, bud. You have a good morning, okay?
See you, Mac.
All right. Bye-bye. Not so funny. Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty profound.
Yeah, you know? I love...
some good things to say there.
I love this job because we get to, you know, connect with all kinds of people, and hopefully there are people who hear that and go, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm going to think about something a little differently.
Yeah, I hope so.
Good stuff. All right.